Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Our retrospective on the summer of 94 continues, and we now leave the world of Ace of Base, thankfully perhaps, for the world of hip-hop, rock, and, in a sense, roots music. That's Root Down, just one of the great tracks from the album Ill Communication, the fourth record by the Beastie Boys. It was released in that summer of 94 and went on to sell 3 million copies, and it hit number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart. Amos Barshad is a staff writer for Grantland, and he's just published a piece commemorating the anniversary of Ill Communication. Amos, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So this is, let's get this out of the way, first of all. The song Sabotage comes from Ill Communication. Big hit, casts a huge shadow. But before we get to that later, we think of the Beastie Boys as a very New York band.
Absolutely.
Where were they when they made this record?
They were in Los Angeles.
Oh! And this is what they were doing out there in L.A.
For them is bony. Gotta do it like this, like Chachi and Joni.
Cause she's the cheese and I'm the macaroni. So why all the fight? Why all the fuss? Cause I ain't got no gun. Yeah, you know I'm getting silly. Got a grandma Hazel and a grandma Chili. I'm a grand royal prince and I'm also a member. Born on the cusp in the month of November. I do the patty tongue in case you don't remember. Well, I freak up on your feet like the hell was in a blender.
A little bit of the Beastie Boys' Get It Together from their album Ill Communication, which was one of the top records of that summer of 94. So, Amos, let's put this in a little bit of context. First of all, the title, Ill Communication, what did that refer to?
I think, I don't remember if it was in that clip that we just heard, but it is on that song. And I think it's Q-Tip just talking about Ma Bell, the phone company.
Right.
I'm sure there was some deeper inside joke things going on that, we haven't uncovered. The Beastie Boys always kind of winking and nodding all over the place. But literally, that's what it is.
Now, at this point, summer of 94, the Beastie Boys, they are co-headlining Lollapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of at the top of their game.
Yeah.
Where does this album fit into the Beastie Boys catalog?
Well, I guess it's kind of right in the middle. This is a bit of a transition. By the end of the recording sessions, they do head back to New York. I think they're going back and forth. I don't know exactly when they did move back, but, after their huge debut, License to Ill, they kind of did a 180, went to L.A., made Paul's Boutique, which, drastically different album.
Full of samples.
Yeah. And then, they kept changing again, Check Your Head. And then
where they started playing instruments again.
That's
because
right.
They started as a hardcore punk band.
Oh, yeah, big time, yeah.
And there's some of that on this record, too.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, Check Your Head and Communication are definitely complementary albums in that the balance between, live music, the instruments that they're picking up and the straight-up rap stuff is very similar.
Right. All right, so let's get to the big hit of the summer of 94 for the Beastie Boys, Sabotage.
Yeah.
This sort of walks a line between their sort of dual nature as a rock band
yeah.
and rappers.
Yeah, absolutely. sadly enough, and this is something they nodded to later, the rap rock hybrid could be traced back to them, unfortunately. but I think they did it in a restrained way, you know, didn't overdo it at all, in a fun kind of tongue in cheek way. And this song, I mean, I remember seeing the video as a kid, and it kind of just blew my mind.
Just a little bit of Sabotage, breakout hit from the album Ill Communication from that summer of 20 years ago for the Beastie Boys. We're speaking with Amos Barshad of Grantland. His piece is called Ill Communication at 20, an everything guide to the Beastie Boys masterpiece. Is this song representative of Ill Communication?
Not really, no. And the funny thing is the backstory is it was one of the last things they wrote and recorded, and we're just kind of messing around in the studio, and they had this engineer, I think it was an engineer, who just was always in there feeling very blasé about all the stuff they were doing, and this was the one time that they got him to jump out of his chair, freak out, so they knew they had to do something with it.
I mean, it almost sounds like the Beatles' Helter Skelter with, you know, with some turntable scratching. And
yeah, yeah. I know, yeah. I wonder if they knew that it had the hit potential that it did.
Well, at some point early on, the decision to make the video was made. Mm-hmm. So they must have known that there was something there. Now, the story of the video is integral to the story of the success of this song.
Yeah, yeah, with their good buddy Spike Jones. They went out and bought those now iconic cop outfits and created these characters and just seemed to have an amazing time on set and created a classic.
So it's basically a parody of all those 70s and 80s cop shows.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, these guys are always churning out stuff from their childhood and reappropriating any way they want.
And this actually was kind of – this jump-started Spike Jonze's career too, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely doing videos all over the place, but I think I would say this was still his most popular, his greatest success.
And they would go on to kind of build on the success. I mean, basically the video, for folks who haven't seen it, is it's like the trailer or the opening credits. It's like a 3-minute long opening credits.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
For a cop show.
And over the years, you know, they had talked about making a movie, which I assume they would have, you know, I think it would have been pretty non-linear, so they would have threaded some of this stuff in, which is too bad that we'll never get to see what they would have done expanding on this stuff.
Yeah. But the allusions to pop culture, I mean, it's not just TV shows and Ma Bell. It's baseball players, basketball players, jazz. I mean, there's pop culture dripping out of almost every pore on this record.
Yeah, no, it's insane. They just open their mouths and all these things pinging around their heads. I mean, the 94 Knicks, I think, are really well represented, which as they should be, of course. it's intimidating and thrilling also. I mean, it's just kind of fun to listen to these guys name drop and try to follow them down all these different rabbit holes.
Yeah. Now, one of the other songs that has aged pretty well is Sure Shot, which you explain in your article for Grantland was actually kind of a song that wasn't happening, wasn't going anywhere until they made a phone call.
Yeah, they had to tell this great story in the liner notes of their anthology. They called their DJ at the time, DJ Hurricane. You know, they needed a chorus. They knew it needed a chorus. They couldn't figure it out. They call him in the middle of the night, and supposedly he records it over the phone, sleepy, in the middle of the night, and that's the recording that they went with.
Sure Shot is the name of the song.
Yeah.
Beastie Boys' Sure Shot from their album from the summer of 94 called Ill Communication. And we're speaking with Amos Barshad, staff writer at Grantland. His piece is called Ill Communication at 20, an everything guide to the Beastie Boys' masterpiece. Just in that little clip, we get shout-outs to Mario Caldado, who was their producer, very important part of the band sound.
Right-hand man, absolutely.
And to Rod Carew, the great second baseman of the Minnesota Twins.
That's right.
So, now DJ Hurricane comes in and saves the day with this song.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of collaborators on this Beastie Boys album, but it's a pretty kind of righteous group of people who are allowed through the door.
Right, yeah. I mean, Q-Tip, which was their good friend, you know, they always had, you know, Mario Caldado, Money Mark, their keyboardist, you know, they always had their crew. And
Biz Markie's on it.
And Biz Markie, of course, yeah. A good friend of the band.
So one of the things that people noted about the record was it's long. I mean, some of the tracks are really short. You know, Tough Guy is less than a minute long. It's like a great piece of, like, classic hardcore punk, you know, over in 60 seconds.
Right, you don't need anything more than that.
But 20 tracks, you know, so there, it's all over the map.
Yeah, definitely. Stylistically. I mean, you could kind of get amped up for the first half, and if you want to maybe, like, take a book out, you know, take a nap a little bit for the second half, it becomes a little bit more MCA's show for the second half, some of his influences. And it definitely takes a turn.
It takes a turn towards the east, specifically towards Tibet. For a couple of tracks. There's Shambhala, and then there's also this track called Bodhisattva Vow, which has the kind of chanting of Tibetan monks looped in the background. I can't imagine, you know, Beastie Boy fans really knowing what to make of that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you didn't make me say the title. Thank you.
But that was apparently inspired by MCA meeting the Dalai Lama.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure exactly when, but at some point in the early 90s, he began this, you know, interest in
Buddhism,
the Dalai Lama, and studying all this stuff. And he writes in the anthology also, you know, he's definitely an amateur, but he was so enamored that he really just wanted to express some of his appreciation for this stuff. You know, he kind of makes fun of himself for having the temerity to try to capture it in a song. But, you know, at the same time, I think it's definitely, like you said, you're exposing it to an audience that otherwise would never be exposed to it.
Right. And MCA, the late Adam Yauch, he was serious about this.
Oh, yeah,
you know, this
yeah.
is still early days,
right.
but he, you know, got deeply into this.
Yeah,
became a major part of his life.
Absolutely, yeah. Throughout the rest of his life was a constant presence, yeah, absolutely.
Bodhisattva Vow is the name of this deep cut from the album Ill Communication. Bodhisattva Vow, one of the unexpected tracks of the late Adam Yauch, a.k.a. MCA of the Beastie Boys, sort of taking the album in another direction, Amos, as it got towards the end.
Yeah, just hearing that line, you know, some disrespect me, it gives me flack, I stop and think before I react. One of the least hip-hop things to have ever been said on a hip-hop song.
I take a deep calming breath.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is a bit. I'm not sure if he completely nailed what he was going for, as he probably would admit. But I think it's really interesting to hear him try.
Listeners, what about you? What was your first experience with this Beastie Boys album called Ill Communication? 20th anniversary, came out the summer of '94. Huge commercial success. And lots of really interesting artistic things to talk about. The variety that Amos has mentioned. Let us know what your experience with the album was. Go to our website, soundcheck.org, and leave your story there. So, you obviously think this record has aged pretty well. You said before, I could listen to it another 20 times.
Yeah.
Why? Where is it in the pantheon of Beastie Boys albums? Is this your favorite?
It's a tough question, but I'm glad you asked because we use the masterpiece in the headline, which for me meant one of their many masterpieces.
Okay.
But the commenters were very upset actually about how we disrespected Paul's Boutique. There was a strong contingent arguing for Paul's Boutique, which is the Paul's Boutique nerds are strong, absolutely. So
it's a very different kind of album.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Paul's Boutique is so intricate in its multiple layers of samples.
Totally, you can unpack it for days. But I mean, I think Ill Communication to me is I think as we said before, the Beastie Boys at full power. It seems to me like they're doing what they want. And it's so almost a cleaner record. Like, I guess for me, I would go back to Check Your Head, a little rougher, a little raw, still them working this stuff out, and that's always fascinating to hear. But at the same time, Ill Communication, just seeing a band just nail it after song after song is always great.
9 million copies later, it still stands up.
Yeah.
20 years later, we've been looking back as part of our series, The Summer of 94, at Ill Communication by the Beastie Boys. Amos Barshad's article for Grantland is called Ill Communication at 20, an everything guide to the Beastie Boys' masterpiece. Find a link on our website, soundcheck.org. Amos, good to see you again.
Absolutely, so good to be here.
Take Soundcheck with you wherever you go with the all-new WNYC mobile app. Download it for free from wnyc.org/mobile.